Yeah, we have a question here about two of the Brahma Viharas, two of the divine abidings. Number one is metta, loving kindness. The second one is karuna, compassion. Another question is, someone finds it difficult to see much difference there. She finds it easier to see the difference, say, between metta and upekkha, between loving kindness and equanimity. But what's the difference between loving kindness and compassion? Loving kindness is the intention for other beings to be well, to be happy. Compassion is the intention to be free from suffering. So that sounds like a very little one, but in terms of feeling, it does feel a bit different to me. So one is you're wishing them something more like positive, that they feel good, that they feel healthy, that they are strong, that they're well looked after, that they are joyful, that they are full of energy, that they are optimistic, that they are realizing the Dhamma, that they have loving kindness. It's more wishing them to gain something that is very good for them. Whereas compassion is wishing them that they are freed from something, namely everything that is painful and unbeneficial. And you're quite right, that they're obviously closely related. And for example, whether you say, may you be healthy, or may you be free from sickness, that becomes somewhat academic, the distinction is very much the same. But it still has a different feel to it. One reason why I personally like karuna, compassion, is that it keeps a connection with the teaching about suffering, about dukkha. For example, if I practice loving kindness, and then you have a session wishing well to yourself, may be happy and well, may be peaceful and healthy, may be filled with loving kindness, may be full of energy and brightness. May all beings be happy and well, may all beings be healthy and strong, may all beings be filled with loving kindness, may all beings, and so on. And then you come to an end of that samatha meditation, of that session of samadhi meditation, because the loving kindness and also karuna are samadhi objects, samatha objects. You come out and now maybe you want to develop more insight. And after thinking, just may everyone be well, may they be happy, and now say reflecting on the Four Noble Truths, suffering, the cause of suffering, the end of the course, and the way to the, I find that more difficult. Because metta has got this fluffy, everything is fine. I mean, this is not really properly practicing metta, but one can easily get into that, that everyone will be kind to me, this little bit like rose-tinted glasses. Everything is fine, and we are all friends, and in particular, you don't feel any connection with suffering. Whereas if you think about for an hour, you develop, may all beings be free from pain, may all beings be freed from suffering, may all beings be released from the defilements. And then after that, you come out and you want to reflect on Four Noble Truths, I find it much easier. And I feel it has less of a danger to get into a too much woolly, fluffy, everything is fine rose-tinted worldview. So objectively, you know, they're very closely related. And in particular, in some areas, there may you be healthy or may you be free from sickness. And this is so close. But in general, in the Pali and the way the Buddha speaks, he often uses negations. Whereas in our modern culture in English, you would usually not use so much negations or so much expressing it in the negative, but you would rather use a positive term. Now, for example, in Pali, health is arogya, non-sickness. But in English it sounds a bit strange. No? I wish you non-sickness is a bit, doesn't sound quite like health. No? But in the Pali, no, they often have these negated terms. The impermanence, anicca. Nicca is permanent. Anicca is not permanent. And so on. And in the end, I feel the path of taking things away, which is more karuna, that you wish them to take something away or to be freed from something, to me is closer to the path of Dhamma, which is basically taking away sankharas. In order to realize the Dhamma, you actually don't have to get anything at all. The problem is that we have too much. The problem is actually that we have anything at all. Because having anything means owning anything or being attached to something or being identified with something. And the whole path of Dhamma practice is basically just getting rid of things. Whether it's attachments, whether it's defilements, whether it's possessions, upadhi, it's just taking things away. And once you have taken all sankharas away, then automatically the experience of the unconditioned will be the result. So the path of Dhamma is much more freeing oneself from things, dropping things, abandoning things, getting rid of things. Whereas if you wish metta, usually you wish them to have something or something more on the positive side. So also from that aspect, I feel karuna is closer. In the commentaries, they say that the Buddha was mostly motivated by what they call maha karuna, by great compassion. And so all the teaching and all the work he did from the moment of enlightenment to the moment of parinibbana, and I was driven by that emotion of compassion. I can't really find it in the suttas, but in the commentary state that I think also in Mahayana, that's usually in the wisdom and compassion. And that is what is considered really driving the bodhisattvas and so on. So, and I think for someone who is in the Dhamma practice, or particularly those who have realized the Dhamma, that is maybe also a stronger motivation. Because you have a clear understanding that it's all about taking things away. Because if you sit for an hour, and may you have health, may you have this, it's more like filling someone with good things, which is also good. You wanted to say something? Or? So Dhamma practice makes total sense to me. The Dhamma is all about getting rid of things, not gaining, yes. And wishing people or anyone, wishing all beings to be free from suffering, I feel is much closer to the general tendency of Dhamma of getting rid of things than metta, where you wish them something positively. On the other hand, I think most people find it actually easier to do metta. That's why I usually also teach metta rather than karuna. I also find it more difficult if you have a session of metta and then you come out, and then like someone talked about this morning, asked about, now you've got this mass murder, this guy who slaughtered people with a knife. And I feel it's a much more heavy kind of clash. So you met down, may all beings be happy, and then you come and have that. And there's a more clashing, whereas if you come out of karuna, I think that then you're not so overwhelmed, because you already have a much stronger awareness and perception of dukkha, of suffering. Or the other way around, now you're watching the news and suddenly they talk all about this, now these people died and the relatives and parents are devastated and the parents of this guy and so on. And now your mind gets maybe depressed or angry at the guy who did that, or you feel hopeless or down. These are all unwholesome mind states. So you have the mindfulness, you notice, now I get angry now, or I get depressed when I hear about that. So what do I do to get out of that unwholesome mind state? One option is metta. May all beings be happy and well. But I find that more difficult. And if you witness, or even just on the media, now you've got this atrocity, and then to swap, may all beings be happy and well, I find that much more difficult than karuna. Because, I mean, you can always wish them to be happy and well, but how can the parents in this situation be happy and well? I find that, emotionally, I find that more difficult to do. Whereas if I wish them, then may all beings be free from pain and suffering. I find it easier, for example, to wish to the parents of the murdered ones, to wish them, may you be free from pain, may you be free from suffering, may you be freed and released from grief. In the end, it's not, objectively, there's no big difference, but subjectively, to form the wish when I encounter an abject suffering, and the parent suddenly losing a child, and that's often one of the worst. Or you're in India on pilgrimage, and you see this crippled beggars trying to get just some money, or you see an old person, an old lady who can barely walk and has virtually nothing, and you see this like abject poverty and suffering. Subjectively, for me, it is much easier than to switch to karuna. May you be free from pain, may you be free from suffering, may you be free from sickness and so on. I find it easier to generate that wish than to generate the wish, may you be happy, may you be well. It may be different for other people, because in the end, both is a little bit the same. But subjectively, for me, it's just easier when I encounter an orgasm. I mean, I don't look much onto the news there, because it's just not very conducive for developing wholesome mind states, to see every single day atrocities on the worst scale being committed, and just basically on live camera, so to speak. It just can be just very overwhelming. Anyway, if you still see it, or if you start thinking about it, again, to wish, may all the people in Gaza be happy and well, I find it quite difficult to get going, because it seems to be so impossible. In a sense, you can argue, may they all be free from pain and suffering, is maybe just as impossible. But subjectively, I find it easier. And if you see really gruesome suffering, or someone dying from terminal cancer in agony, again, you can wish them, may you be well and happy, may you be well. Or you can wish them, may you be free from pain, may your pain come to an end, may you be free from sickness, may you be free from suffering. Subjectively, the second one is much easier for me. If I have someone dying from cancer in agony, for me, subjectively, it's very difficult to go for metta. It's much easier, karuna. But it may be the other way around for you. You have to use whatever works. And as mentioned, I like the connection. When you come out of karuna, you can connect easily to vipassana, to contemplate. Everything is impermanent. Everything is not a self. I find that swap from the samatha practice of either metta or karuna, the concentration practice of compassion or loving kindness, and now switching over to insight. And I find that much easier to do when I'm coming from compassion. And I feel that it's much closer to the soul approach of Dhamma, of taking things away, of freeing oneself from things. Because when you wish them, may you be free from suffering, is taking things away. And I think it's a very powerful practice to deal with intense suffering. And it can be, I think, a stronger motivation. It's actually almost, I like it to call it the miracle of compassion, because you can turn a mind state that is so disheartening, encountering suffering and feeling depressed and upset and downed by it, and to turn that into some positive quality. Because karuna is not the same as just empathy. Now, empathy means you can relate, you can almost kind of feel the suffering someone else experiences. But that is not the emphasis of karuna, because there's no point. If you feel the suffering from everyone, there would be just lots of suffering for you. The main point of karuna is wishing them to be free from suffering. It's something very different from being able to almost like experience their suffering. So empathy and karuna is not the same at all. Empathy can be very helpful for developing karuna. If I can't even imagine what you are suffering from, then I cannot really bring up much intention wishing for you to be free from that. First, I need to be able to tune in and imagine what is hurting you before I can have a strong intention, may you be free from that. So empathy is certainly a helpful quality to get the karuna going, to get the compassion going. But we have to be careful. The point of karuna is not to just feel the suffering of everyone. That would be just harmful for yourself and not help the others. The real point of karuna is that intention and the connected emotion and the connected feeling. May you be free from pain and suffering. And the emotion connected with that is actually a very uplifting one. Although again, it feels quite different from my personal subjective experience in metta. It has quite a different feel to it. Although in the end result, they're quite similar. What you wish them is quite similar, but in terms of subjective experience, I think it feels quite different. The karuna is more sober, somehow it's less. Again, only in the commentaries, they relate the four main sacred sites to the four Brahma Viharas, and they say that in Lumbini the quality of metta is dominant, in Bodh Gaya the quality of karuna is dominant, in Sarnath, where the first teaching happened, mudita, and in Kusinara Mahaparinibbana Upekka. And yeah, I can relate a little bit to it. I'm not aware of the Buddha saying that, and it's only in the commentaries, but I can see some point. In particular, Lumbini has got this, that the devas dancing with joy, with their flower garlands, and they're quite central in a particular Tarvatings, and they're very central. And has this, this kind of this bubbly joy. And I feel metta, and I have still a bit more this kind of bubbly joy. And after a good session of metta, you've got this. And karuna is also uplifting, but it doesn't have this bubbly, somehow I feel it's a bit more profound to me. And I can sometimes see that when people do metta, I mean, one thing is having a certain wish, but even if you love everyone, and if you wish everyone to be well, there are still very nasty people outside, and they may actually treat you also very nasty, even if you wish all these good things. And I think that when you're on metta, you can lose a little bit sight of that. Subjectively, that can feel that they're all friends now. But they're not all friends. Now, there are some people who just stick a knife into your back while you're shopping. It's just the reality. And I think with karuna, there is less of a clash, and you're getting less into this, how to say, dewy-eyed. Now, a big problem is that we tend to hide dukkha. We don't want to acknowledge dukkha. This is why we always say, how are you? I'm fine. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. No problems, mate. It's all good. She be right, mate. This is all convincing us that everything is fine. And I notice that people, even when they come to the monastery, they kind of would like to hear that. They come and they offer food, and they would like to hear, yeah, and you're generous, and it's all good, and you will be reborn in Devaloka and Teriyatai Nibbana. And people always want to hear that everything is good, because we don't really want to open up. The delusion is there. We don't want to open up to suffering. And I feel there's more of a danger with metta, and that one goes onto that track. It fits quite well. You can walk around and assure everyone that I'm perfectly fine, it's all good, and no problem. And then I do my metta meditation, and then I come out and tell everyone it's all good, no problem. That's quite easy. But if you practice karuna, I think you have a very keen awareness that not everything is good, isn't it? On the other hand, if you're in this delusion, if you try to convince yourself it's all good, I mean, I know one day I have got to die, but that's a long time into the future. I mean, I'm getting older, but still, maybe when I'm 90, this is still more than 30 years in, and okay, and so subjectively, this is still not really something that affects me. And it's very easy to get into this denial of suffering as a default position. That's a default position of avidya and moha. And I think metta is not a very good meditation to counter that. But you can combine that with a kind of slightly misdirected metta, like everything is fine. It's quite fascinating. I have a few talks on this Insight Timer app. Not sure if you know that. Was it in 2015, a guy contacted me in the UK, and I didn't know about that app. I barely had, I think I had the first little mobile phone at that time. I didn't know the app, and he wanted to upload some of my talks. So I had a quick look, and it was all possible not to use it for free and so on. Then I said yes. And then later with the, during the Corona time, Corona madness, I contacted him again, and he wasn't looking after that anymore. And then I got the login and so on, and then I put a few more. That's quite fascinating on the app and the kind of meditations you get there. And, Gisele Bündchen, the supermodel, the ex-supermodel, or how you pronounce her name, Giselle, or is a very famous, I mean, maybe 20 years ago she was very famous, supermodel from Brazil. But later she is also publishing some guided meditations here on this app. And she got immediately onto their homepage of that app because she's already so famous. I'm not sure whether she's the most qualified, but and you can see in the men kind of this app and the criteria, and it obviously helps when you look good. But some of the meditations they have there is the kind of affirmation that everything is good. You just sit down and convince yourself that everything is fine and I be well and I be healthy. And but not so much as wishing that, but convincing yourself that everything is good. I will have full success, and it's just a kind of almost intensifying delusion. But not many people like that. People love that totally, to hear the way you are right now and the way you're living is all perfectly fine. Wouldn't be great. I don't have to change anything. I don't have to do anything revolutionary and totally against the grain. The way it is already perfect. Oh, wow. You would be very popular if you can really present that very convincingly to people. No, it's all good. You don't have to worry about a thing. Just take this amulet, or maybe just repeat this little mantra, and everything will be fine. People totally love it. And some of these meditations are on this app, or many of them are actually in this direction. But this is not really the Dhamma. No? Things are not fine. There's something happening in our bodies that leads inevitably to death. And it's happening right now, inevitably. Yes?
Could one say, unless it hurts a little bit at some point, it's not karuna?
Could one say, if it doesn't hurt at some point, it's not really karuna? I think without having experienced some hurt, a person probably will never really develop karuna. But if someone has developed karuna, I don't think there's any hurt in it. The opposite. I don't think the Buddha or the great Ajahns, when they develop karuna, that there's any feeling of hurt. But if you have never experienced or opened up to the feeling of suffering, they probably never even get really started with developing it. Maybe I would put it like that. But anyway, I'm not trying to poo-poo metta. Metta is fantastic. Go for metta. I'm just trying to encourage to also develop karuna. The metta is great.